All right, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Like I said, we'll read from verse 2. And we're reading all the way to verse 10. And let's do it like we are blessed. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there's no one besides you. Neither there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gather strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He leads the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He is the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and will exalt the horn of his anointed. Amen. Hallelujah. Our Father, we thank you for another day. Thank you for another word. Thank you for the infusion of your spirit that you have planned for us. Our hearts are open to receive it this morning in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, we just want to say a special thank you for every place that this word that we are preaching from here has gone to. For every life that has been blessed. For every home that has been touched. For every situation that has been turned around by the entrance of your spirit. Lord, we pray for everyone who has tasted of the word and been blessed by it, that their faith will never fail in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that those who have tasted of your word and have been blessed by it, they will walk fully with you into their destiny in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let the purpose of each life like that, each of such lives, Father God, let it be fulfilled in this life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Once again, our hearts are open this morning and we receive from you insight. We receive from you understanding.
Amen.
We receive from you wisdom.
Amen.
Therefore, we declare as follows.
Now I
the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And as a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. What is entering my heart? It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
All
right, let's take our seats. All right, let's open our Bibles to the second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 2. Yeah, to get some lengthy reading, let's begin from verse 14. We'll read all the way to verse 20. Well, maybe to the end. Let me see. From verse 14. It's a long one. Now, let me just read from the New Living Translation. He said, remind everyone about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. He was telling Timothy how to run the church, that he was, in modern day, we use the word pastor over. Then the word was slightly different. He said, such arguments are useless and they can ruin those who hear them. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his personal approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly explains the word of truth. Accurately handling the word of truth. He said, verse 16, avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer. That's the one that grows very fast. as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus, they have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred in this way. He said, in this way, they have turned some people away from the faith. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his. And then it says, all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. Please notice that second one. All who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. If I like, I prefer the New American Standard rendering there, because it kind of places the charge on your claim. He said, everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness or from evil. If you name the name of the Lord, all right? And I said, now, this is the issue now. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, now please notice verse 21. If you keep yourself pure, or if you cleanse yourself of these things, if you cleanse yourself, now it's very important. Let me read that one from an older translation. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. You will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use for every good work. Now, this is what you are going to do. Run from anything, that's verse 22, that stimulates youthful lust. It was a young man, Timothy. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord, like Nathaniel. I just added that one to it. He said, from pure hearts. Now, let me stop reading verse 22. Now, this was Paul's charge to Timothy concerning his work, like I said, as the head of the apostolic designate, if I may use that expression, the apostle in charge of the church in Ephesus. And he told him these things. And we are going to take some principles from there to explain the issue of working for God, how to be a servant of God. Now, please, let me go. I've been recommending this book every time. Someone is controlling you. Please download it and read it. It's free on our website, the PDF version of it. You don't need to do any payment or anything. Just download and read. The only charge we have is, who can remember? Share, that's it. That's it. Just dash somebody. This, your friend is fine. You're sending the link. Look at this book, download it, or send it by WhatsApp. Tell the person to read. When you do that, you have paid your own cost. Okay, so the book is there. It's titled, Someone is Controlling You. I want to explain to us again that when it comes to anything we are doing for God, are you getting me? It must be a habit. Well, let me put it this way. It's a result of a good habit. You don't do great things because you plan to do great things. You do great things because you made a habit of doing the good small things. Do you get my point? Like, let me give an example. I get here once in a while. If somebody says to you, give an offering, all right? Maybe go and sell your house and give to the gospel. Let me just put it like this. Don't bother. Don't bother. My reason is because if you have never sold your shoes to give to the gospel, now you get what I'm saying? Now, not literal selling, but giving things, you know, that category. And you've made it a habit. If they always have to wind you, you know what I mean? Wind you like a machine, like diesel engine that doesn't have a Kickstarter. If they have to do that to you every time before you release money, when the day they say you should sell your house and give to the gospel, don't bother. Because you will regret it. And when you finish regretting it, you will lose your reward.
See, if you give an offering and every day you are angry about it, after the anointing had cooled down from your body, you know, when you're under the influence, you will do anything. Then when you step out, you're like, what happened to me? What entered me? What was I thinking? How could I have dropped my car? You want to go back and collect the keys? Please go back and collect the keys. What's the reason? You won't be blessed. You will not be blessed. Okay? If you cannot just say, it's done, but leave it. If you can't do that, you are going to be complaining about it all the time. Afterwards, you are not going to be blessed. So I always tell Christians, when anybody tells you to make a dangerous sacrifice, do it in the evening. They have a habit of telling us, do it now, as they are not. That's the wrong time to do it. You are going to do things that you are going to feel bad about. You are going to do things that you are going to regret. So just calm your head. Your pastor has brought somebody, you know, they are professionals who are very good at raising money. Generally, when your pastor needs money, he invites them, all right? And then they give them a pulpit for the day to wind you so you can bring the money, all right? And I'm giving you my advice. Tell somebody, when they say, do it now, say, Banky said, I should wait till evening. The service in the morning, he said, the devil will come. It's not the devil. You know, why do we like to blame the devil for common sense? Are you getting my point? It's not the devil. It is you. He said, if you waste time by evening, the devil will make you change your mind. It's not the devil. Your head is going to calm down and the impulsiveness of your soul will have disappeared. You will not decide whether you really want to do it or you don't want to do it. Now, if you don't do what I've said and you did it and the evening, all right, that your so-called devil still comes, you've lost your reward. Do you get my point? Don't get into this frenzy thing. You remember the day Abraham entertained angels. He did not know they were angels. Nobody motivated him to entertain them. He just had compassion. And you see, it's a habit his family had. How do I know? When the same people got to Sodom, what happened to them? Lot did exactly the same thing that Abraham did. Abraham would have done that for poor, homeless people. Lot will have done that. The same thing for any person. They did not know they were angels. They showed respect. The people may have looked a bit dignified when they came closer. But what motivated them was, it's late in the day. Where are these people traveling to? Then they entered the city. Lot saw them. This place is dangerous. Please, you guys, come. Come and stay for your own safety in my house. It was what? A habit. You that want to go and take your father's car, sow it as a seed so that it can multiply. I don't know where you saw cars germinating. All right? Yeah. I don't know where they saw it. Because like I told you once, a friend of mine, a friend's friend, but I got to know the guy. He traveled and his brother sowed his car as a seed. Hoping that the car will have sprouted, germinated, matured, produced flowers. Flowers will have pollinated, and then fruit will have happened before his elder brother will come back. So the brother go home, say, where is the beast of burden I tied here? The guy said, it's in the ground. You know what I'm trying to say? It's germinating. He actually said that by now, he was regretting when his brother was complaining. He was regretting that by now, the thing should have produced so he can return to his brother. One of the ones that is produced. Yeah. Basically, he had expected that the old Toyota Corolla he gave as a seed would have produced a Camry, a Lexus, and maybe a Mercedes-Benz. He told his brother, don't be angry, take one. Just choose one of these three. As I'm telling you, see, that's how not to regret your life. Look, if you cannot make it a habit, relax. Some will say that I don't want Christians to be blessed. Now, I've been accused of that. That Pastor Banky doesn't want Christians to be blessed. I am telling you how to be blessed. Make doing good what? a habit. Do it regularly, all the time. Do you get my point? Now, that is when you can do great things. That is when God can give you an assignment that is heavy. Because you're already doing that thing in a small level on a regular basis. Abraham gave up Isaac, right? Isaac was not the first thing he gave up. I keep on telling people that. First, he gave up land. He gave up his first, what you call the right of first refusal. Do you get my point? That is, he was the one that was supposed to choose first. That's what we mean. He did not stick with that. He gave that to Lot. Then one day, of course, his wife made him do what he did. He had a son by Hagar. Then God said to him one day, give up Ishmael. And you know what he did? He gave up Ishmael. Ishmael left him. And he felt Ishmael was going to die because of the bush that he threw the young man into. But the angel of the Lord rescued him. That was the next time he practiced. So at the time God now said, all right, give up Isaac. It wasn't new. God had just been increasing the demand in his life. That's the point I'm making. Is that okay? So in summary, Abraham was made ready for a particular good work. He was made ready. So that's what Paul was telling Timothy. There is a way to prepare yourself for great things. And the emphasis, all right, or the focus of your life should be that preparation. Do you get? So I've heard people say that, look, if I get this kind of money, I will give to the gospel, or I will give this person. Look, you ask the person, wait, we're talking if you get a 100 million naira, you can give 50 million to the gospel. 50 million, fine, good. Now, what have you been getting regularly is 100,000. Have you ever given 10,000 of that on the regular basis? No. Okay. Bros, if you get 100 million, you will not give 50 million. You won't. Why? You do not have, let me put it like this, you have not been made ready for good work. So, don't bother telling yourself what you will do when you have so much. Do something when you have little. Look for, now you see something that Paul said to Timothy. Let me just look at that here. Verse 15. Now, let me just read the New Living Translation. He said, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Or let me use a more common expression. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Now, what did he say? Work hard. What did I say? What did he say? Say it again louder. Good. The point is this. Look for the opportunity to exercise yourself. Let me give an example. Let's think about this giving and money thing as an example. Everybody can give. What did I say?
Everybody can give.
There is nobody that can't give. It is what you give that's not the difference. I don't have money to give. One thing is sure. The man or woman that doesn't have money to give has time to give. You cannot be so poor you don't have both of them. Money to give, you don't have. Time to give, you don't have. Then what are you doing with your time? Do you get what I'm saying? Now, let's think about this giving thing as an example. It's not every time you go to help somebody. You understand? You are looking for what you will get out of it. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. He said, work hard. Look for the opportunity to give. You go to a church as an example. Yeah, I mean, tomorrow is Sunday. He said, I don't have money. Come early and clean the place. Work hard. Do you follow what I'm saying? Work hard. No, go out of your way. Okay, sir, this is my pastor. This one here. God knows I don't have. Go to his house and wash his car in the morning. Do something, work hard at giving. You cannot just say, I don't have money. It's not only money they give. That's what the point I'm making. Work hard. That's what he was telling Timothy. He said, work hard at these things. Practice a giving life. You have an event, or maybe your friend has an event. Okay. We have a habit, and I thank God for that in this country. It's part of our culture in Nigeria. And it's a very good culture. Don't lose it. All of us package money. And we give. Somebody gives birth to a child, baby dedication, we all put something in an envelope. No matter how small. It's wedding. This is what you do. We put something in an envelope. Whatever the fellow is doing, and I've even told those who listen to me, this habit of, you bought a new car, we go wash them. I said, there's nothing like that. For those of us who are Christians, what do? We wash it for the person. Say, you bought a new car. We'll all go. We can't buy the car for you now. You've bought it, right? We'll go and buy fuel. Fuel is expensive. Yes, sir. So, boy, now, beg, the first 2 days you're driving this car, let me pay for fuel. Here's my money for 10 liters. Here's my money for 5 liters. Okay? That's a good habit we have, and we must never lose it. We must never, look, let's not learn. Sometimes I see the way we copy Oyinbo culture. Don't learn it. Some things are good, some things are bad. When we see elders, we get up, we give them our chair. Abi? The hall is full, an elder comes in, we're already seated. We say, this one, now my uncle's mate, it's my father's mate. You quickly get up. You're welcome, sir. And he thinks you are one of the organizers. No, you just give up your seat. It's a good habit. We must never lose it. Is that okay? Now, let's get back to the thing we're trying to say. So that habit of giving to people, now you don't have. And your friend is planning an event. See, don't go and be doing, you go and see the person. Well, I'd love to help. Don't. That story is not necessary. They say the event is at 2 o'clock. Bros, you don't have money to give him. Go at 12. Help him organize the hall. Do you follow my point? Help him. Be an usher. Dress nicely and come. And contribute something. Don't just come and eat and get up and go. You didn't give him money. Do you follow my point? Why didn't you give him money? You don't have. You really don't have. You're not lying. I'm just saying the other things you have. Being there on time, helping to put things in place, is a way of giving. It's a way of giving. In Nigeria of today, they say that if you spray money, you can go to jail. You know? Uh-huh. So we say that money we must spray. Look, other money I said is their own. We will find another method. So maybe some people catch money. So now we have money catchers so that nobody will go to prison. Is that okay? Be one of them. I make sure the person's money is complete. Do you follow me? You monitor, because some people are criminals. They've come to that event to come and steal that spray money. Once you can't identify, God, you know your circle of friends. Somebody is doing, we are dancing too close. Move back. Now, what I'm trying to emphasize in all of these things is the habit. You must have a giving mentality about life. You know, there was something that Dami shared yesterday when he was doing Bible study here. And let me just share it because it's a good thing. He said one day he was driving and a soldier, military man, stopped, you know, kind of flagged him down. So he said, please, sir, which way are you going? He wanted a lift. So he asked the man in return, said, which way are you going? He's not, forget where I'm going. Where are you going? The man like, where am I going? I will take you there. You just tell me. So he told him somewhere that was off Dami's route for the day. So Dami told the guy, okay, come in. But you're not going that way. Don't worry. I'll take you there. So he drove the guy to where he was going. And the man was surprised. The military man, like, why are you bothering? He said, well, I appreciate people like you who are willing to lay down their lives for the rest of us to be safe. And the man had never seen anybody treat him like that. You know, typically in Nigeria, we think of soldiers as oppressors. That's how we reason. So he told the guy, no, come. And he drove the guy off his own way, dropped the guy where he was going. They had some conversation after. The guy was so impressed, asking him, could he take him out there and come and meet somewhere and eat and other things. But let's leave that one. We were here yesterday. what the guy offered was very funny. But the point is that giving attitude I'm talking about. The man saw him and said, look, let me give to this man. Just to appreciate. You know, I've seen them before. If you've seen military men walk in America, everybody give, do you know, when you are boarding a plane, they call them separately. You board people in order. You get my point? They get priority boarding. If a serviceman is here, you come. And they will always tell you, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Because they know the country is safe. They can live in peace. Because you are dying. And you signed to go and die. Now, we don't have that habit here, partly because of the history of military rule. And we know soldiers as oppressors, so we don't like them. But that has to change, okay? We have a new crop now. They've never ruled. There's nobody that has been in government, that's in the military now. We don't have. And the small ones who like to oppress, teach them good manners. Do you get my point? By the way you treat them. Okay? Good. Now, the point I'm just making from there is, you see, this giving culture is something we should all have. We should all learn. It's a story. Let me just tell you a story, which is very fun. We used to, in our tracts, all right? We used to print them in thousands, okay? These days, people download things and all of that. But we still have the tracts. We give them out free of charge, all right? So, the tracts are designed in a particular way. It's printed just, it's not A4, it's legal, yeah. What they call legal sheet, the paper size. So that's how it stays. It's printed front and back, but it's printed in such a manner that you fold it like an M. If you spread it out, it's an M, okay? So when you fold it, it comes out to about a quarter of the normal size, width, and it's very handy. So when you're opening it and reading, it opens like a book. You never have to spread it out. You just keep opening and opening like that. So it's anybody who's going to fold it, we have to explain and teach you. So that's why I told you, the early days of the ministry, my wife and I alone folded 10,000 of them. There was a time my wife began to have aches in her thumb, but I had to explain to her, it's the folding of the tracts that caused it. So one day, one young lady came, she wanted to collect some tracts, she was traveling. And I said, look, they've not been folded. Because then I insisted on folding them, because I've seen people on the road carrying them like a plate. You don't just open like that. Before we tell people, fold it, we show them how to fold, and then we give you the pack. But later I realized that, no, I'm not releasing these tracts unless they are folded. Because people fold it recklessly. And it defeats the purpose of the design. So this lady was waiting. So I explained to her that the tracks have not been folded. She should come back later. She said, if that's the case, okay. Maybe she'll fold for me and I will tell her how much I will pay. Did you get that? You didn't hear it too? Okay. So you didn't hear it well, so you want to hear it again. She's waiting to collect tracks free, but they are not folded. She has the time to fold them, but it's asking me, so I will pay her. It's like, as part of the printing cost, it will be a folding cost for me. Sometimes I wish I was like my wife. Because she won't let you go. Me, I just live in the interest of peace. I say, I'm not your father. I'm not the one that will teach you good manners. It's wrong of me to think like that. I'm not saying it's right. I wish I was different. Allah said, okay, when I finish, I'll pay you. Okay, this is how much. He said, okay, good. So start folding. Now, before you start, when you finish, before you collect, this is my own price, then she will get the point. I looked, I said, I will pay you for tracks I'm planning to give you free of charge. You must really think you're doing me a favor by coming to collect the tracks and taking them somewhere. Maybe you want to go and use it for evangelism or stuff. People used to use it for that. In fact, there's one guy around there, not here, there, that's Agribank Junction. He was walking on the road and I recognized the track. He was holding it. I stopped. Hello, sir. Excuse me. Please, that paper in your hand, where did you get it from? He said, some people are going around preaching and they were sharing it. People used to do it. They go around. I know one lady, one of our sisters here, what she used to do is when she wants to preach to somebody, she'll ask you a question. Do you believe everybody is equal before God? You will say, yes. should not give you the tract. Are we all equal before God? And say, we will talk later. Then she will leave you to read it all. Then come back to you maybe next day. Have you read the paper I gave you? Yes. Do you still think so? You are not so sure anymore. Good. That's her opener. Then she starts preaching the gospel to you. People use it for that. Is that okay? But like, back to this young woman. Okay, this is what you want to use it for, maybe. But then how much have you given me for the printing of those tracts? Kingdom what has, I mean, I'm talking about 20 years ago now. Kingdom what has changed since then, okay? But then, I paid for all the tracts from this my pocket. Nobody gave me an offering. You've not given me a dime. Maybe you don't have. I understand you don't have. What do you have? Just to help us fold. And you are offering that I should pay. When you heard me complain that they are not ready because they've not been folded, you should take one day off from whatever you are doing and come and sit down and fold them for me. See, poverty is a mindset, first of all. And what's the mindset of poverty? I don't have anything to give. So what did I say about poverty? First of all, and it's the mindset of what? I have nothing to give. That is the mindset of poverty. It's the idea that I have nothing to give. And you go to a place where people need, like you're in a church. I mean, tomorrow is Sunday. And you're comfortable with, some people are comfortable with other people picking the bills. You go to church. For those of you who don't pay for things, you won't understand. Electricity now is expensive. You know, Nigeria, you are used to things being subsidized. Brethren, one day one of my doctors, he said, sir, and I went and bought AC. Because he just married. He wanted his wife to feel comfortable. He went and bought a conditioner and put it in his house. He said, the guy was like, ooh, who told me to go and buy this? I said, but it's because of your new wife now. He said, it's 1 unit an hour. And I told him, I said, what is the temperature set on? He told me, I wanted to box him. I said, that's how your money will go like that now. I told him how to set his temperature, that you'll be comfortable, but your compressor will be going off and on, and then instead of 1 unit an hour, that'll be 1 unit every 2 hours, or even 3. He went home, he did like that, and he came back and said, thank you, sir. Some of you, your freezer is set in such a manner as to ruin your economy. Things are expensive now. That's what I'm trying to say. Fuel alone. Hey. You know, there are techniques for doing things that we did not know. People have learned them. Called one of my doctors the other day. Please help me do this. Do you have your car with you? He said, no, sir. I said, where's your car? He said, I park it in this place and I take your bus to work. I said, yeah. This fuel subsidy remover is actually turning us to very wise people. Yeah. Now you go to church on Sunday. They have power all the time. Brethren, that power is not free. I've mentioned two things now. If it's EEDC, they are paying. Like if you see the ACs in this hall, those ones, the compressors can't go off because they are not enough. We have to make them make sure they are fully on all the time, throughout the time the meeting is on. You're going to go to church, it's either they are paying EEDC or they are buying diesel. What am I trying to say? Don't be comfortable with just going there. Walking and walking out, and assuming that somebody has paid. See, let me tell you how God runs ministry. Human beings are sent to do. Angels have never generated power. I've never seen an angel go somewhere. Then the treadmill, they are running. Say, what are you doing? We are running the ministry's alternator with our feet. They don't do that. The best angels will do for you is to move somebody's head. Bro, go and give them money to buy diesel. They buy the diesel, they put it, then the generator works. Please, let's just get this clear. See, electricity, you see, there's nowhere in the world where it is free or cheap. Then it's not cheap. Oh. Some people say, what is wrong with this government? Nothing is wrong with the government. The problem is the thing. To generate power ask an engineer around. It's difficult. It's expensive. Very expensive. But you go to church, that's the point I'm making. Just know that things that they are doing there cost money. And you should be a... You know me, I don't believe in a giver. So that is that's a wicked way to give. And you pastors that keep preaching it, and I keep begging you, stop it. It's bad. Teach the Christians, the children of God, to be responsible. That's all. Stop lying to them that, hey, if you give now, have an anointing. There's no anointing upon you to multiply whatever offering they give today. It's a bad anointing. You'll be going up and down telling people that you have the anointing. You don't have it. You know the anointing I have? The anointing I have is how to is teaching Christians how to be responsible. Look, if you want those who help you multiply your money, they're in business schools. I can pray for you. That's the best I can do. I can give you brotherly advice on how to manage things. But to say you give an offering, I will multiply it. My name is not Elijah. And that's number one. Number two, Elijah did it how many times? That you are aware of. It's only once he did it. So stop pretending like you're Elijah. Pastor, you are not. And please, Christians, stop waiting for somebody to catch you mugu. You know what they call catch you mugu? One day, one of my friends called me. He said, Oga, because my resident those days. He said, the next pastor that's going to prison, he mentioned one man, I won't tell you the name. I said, what did he do? He said, the man said, everybody should give. And he was laughing at his English. He said, if my God did not bless you in the next 3 months, 3 weeks, that you should come back and meet him. Of course, I understand too why he said it. If you're a pastor, you say such things. We will not put you in prison, but you are tempting us. But those of you who hear it, why are you gullible? Why are you so gullible? That's what I'm begging. People think everything that sounds spiritual, all right, is right. No. One woman called my wife once that she was praying her spirit that she'll be the one to pay her children's school fees. Yes. I said, apparently she does not know the wife of who you are. That even if you wanted to, I would tell you to stop. Stop that nonsense. I know why you called her. We all know, I mean, at least among the three of us, you, my wife, and me, we know why you called my wife. Because you are a wicked person. You see where I'm going? But yes. Your husband is a more wicked person. In the midst of all your wickedness, everybody has deserted you. And from your experience, one person that has always overlooked your weaknesses and your bad behavior is this woman. And you want to now leverage on that and say, God said. My wife made it clear, I didn't hear God. Oh no, she didn't answer her. If you had just called and said, my sister, God bless you. You know over time, you have been my friend in this area. And I have not been good to you. But please, I'm in need. If my wife reported that to me, what would I say to her? I say, okay, what will you do now? What is it that I was prayed and my spirit said I should call you? Tell your spirit that I don't listen to your spirit. And therefore, I refuse. You want to use spirituality to get money out of me? You're drunk. I will cast out that spirit from you. It's better for you to just say something like, oh boy, my teeth is dry. Things are rough. My guy got to chop now. Alpha. Then I can't deny. But when you start telling me stories like you were praying and the Holy Spirit said you should come and meet me. I said, so did the Holy Spirit tell you he talked to me ahead? No. Please, Christians, eh? Being a believer doesn't mean you are gullible. And don't feel bad about refusing to believe a prophecy. That's how many people were following TB something in Lagos, say that he's a genuine prophet. One man was still telling my wife the other day that my wife said, hey, don't quote that man for me. Well, how many days ago? That's like 3 days ago. Yeah. It is not every time they bring a prophecy, you gullibly open your heart to it. A prophet you have not met before. Listen, people are using familiar spirit. I perceive you are from Arundizog. I perceive that your father's house is the first. That's it. Go deeper, Papa. Let me go. Once you hear, go deeper, Papa. Carry your shoes and walk out. People are using familiar spirits. All right? To defraud the people of God. Yeah, I'll just be looking at you. I won't even answer you. And don't tempt me to tell you what you don't want to hear. You know, I think it's good. We have a lot of respect for men of God, for spiritual things. But because there's so much fraud going on, we need more wisdom. Did you hear what I said? Because there's so much fraud going on, we need more wisdom than before. Anybody that prophesies money out of your pocket that you do, look, just refuse. Once his prophecy ends with money out of your pocket, this money, it's not just to show God there that it's not like you don't want to give. Go out and give to the poor. One woman entered one church one day. Agenda said, once he heard the name of the minister, she left the church, went back to her car, and put her bag inside the car. And locked it, and came back inside church. Put everything, just held only her Bible. Told her friend, this guy, I know him. I'm not safe. And by now, look, you go to churches where such, you should know them. And please, don't let anybody sway you. Money you can't give. Now, I keep on saying this. Many people won't like it. Like I said at the beginning, people have said I don't want Christians to be blessed. Me, I want them to be blessed more than you. Your own is that you don't want to collect their money. I will also collect their money, in quote, so to speak. But it has to be willingly, freely, with a good heart, so that both the person who is giving and those of us receiving, all right, or when we are the ones giving, everybody is blessed. If I lie to you, you will not be blessed. I will not be blessed. So that transaction now brings everybody under a problem. And I don't want that to happen. If you will feel, look, I didn't say people shouldn't give. Let's get it clear, because sometimes people don't hear you well. I am saying, okay, I like to tell, where's Ndoka? I saw him just now. Okay, it's okay. Maybe in the other hall. When the pastor came to their church and preached that you will give God something that will pain you. Now, what he meant is that people should give so much money they will feel bad out of what they have. What he did not know, some people, once it is called money, it can never pain them. I don't know whether I get my point. Once it is called money, it can't pain them. Shebi is money. Hey, take it. So this our brother decided that what he said, what will pain you? He looked around his house. He didn't know what could pain him that was material. If it's my television, it won't pain me. If you want my clothes, it will not pain me. Once it's money, it will not pain me. The only thing he said will pain him, he now realized it, was his wildlife adventure result. One day he had killed a snake, maybe a red snake, and skinned it, prepared his skin nicely, and used it to decorate his house. Now, you can't easily replace. Number one, they don't sell snakes like that in the market. The snakes are not waiting to be killed. If he gave out this snake skin, it's going to pain him. He knew he would feel bad. So the guy took the snake skin off the wall, wrapped it in a big envelope. Offering time, he drops it. Now, this is Nigeria where nobody's going to buy it if you put it up for sale. Because it has a serpentine spirit. If you're in your house at night, it's going to be wriggling in your dreams. So it is useless to the church. But he said to me that, sir, the man said we should bring something that will pain us. He did not know that money will not pain some people. By the way, let me just say it again. Your offering does not need to be painful for it to be valid. Now, let me say what I wanted to say. If it's going to pain you, don't bother. Why? It's not going to bless you. Now, that is not me saying don't give all you have. Do you get my point? Is that what I said? I did not say don't give all you have. I didn't say don't give 50% of what you have. I did not say don't give 95% of what you have. But what I'm saying, okay, let me give you an example. I have children. God has blessed me with them. And of course, I have a wife. We are fully responsible for their school fees, for their food fees. You know what they call food fees? For all the fees. I have never in my life made any payment on their behalf. And it's pained me. Never. I don't care how much it is. When Bishop was constructing our house where we live now, there are times he will ask for a large amount of money. There was one he asked for that I did not have. By the time I finally gave it to him, I mean, he's paying for the whole roof, so you can imagine it's a lot of money. He didn't pay me. Do you know why he didn't pay me? It's my house. In fact, the day when he asked me, I called him. I said, sit down. You have known me for a long time. Have you ever seen me with this kind of money? Yeah, that's what I told him. I said, have you ever seen me with this kind of money? He said, no, sir, but God, we are used to doing things, please, but he said, this has to be done at a go. You know, cement, you can buy one bag and two bags and reduce the workmen to two instead of 10. He said, no, this one is not like that. It has to go at a go.
I said, oh boy.
I won't tell you how I will solve it. We actually prayed and God solved that matter. No, it was a miracle as far as I'm concerned. The money didn't come as a miracle. It was wisdom that God gave. All right? They'll say, wait, let me not bore you with it now. But where I'm going is that when I finally gave him the money, did he pay me? What feeling did I have when I gave him the money? Think about it. No, relief. That's the word I'm looking for. I finally gave him the money. Thank God. Do you get my point? He didn't pay me. I was relieved that I finally got the money. Oh, this money, Father God, I thank you. Okay, we're supposed to pay. It's a lot of money. I mean, you can imagine, I was stone-quoted and all of that. You know the size of the building. I said I had to give the guy money once. You know, this kind of, your body will, you have to look up not to the healer, but you have to look up to God. I have the Lord in heaven. Upon this earth, I didn't know no man. He can't no man now and suffer poor pressure. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. On roof. But without, it was that expensive. I mean, sometimes when I look at people dizzy, I feel sorry for them because it's three times that price now. I feel sorry for them. How do you guys manage? Anyway, maybe you know God as I did, all right? Now, but it didn't pain me. I felt relief. I didn't feel pain. So when somebody tells me that, give something that will pain you, I'm like, okay, it's money. It can never pain me. It only pains me when I give you money, I realize that you just stole it. You collected money from me for evangelism. Then you went to do party. You get my point? Or you say, I'm getting married. Where's your contribution towards my wedding? I say, okay, Ebuka, take. This is my contribution. Then after 1 week, what's going to happen? I say, I don't know what is going on. That girl is not serious. Where's my money? I'm going to ask you, where is my money? And you don't do that. You say, I didn't give you money. And then you go. It will pain me. But if I had come for that wedding and we are dancing, we are eating, and you are getting married, would it pain? It won't pain me. I'll be relieved. I'll be glad. So that's what I mean. There is no offering you are giving that should pain you before it counts. I'm sorry to say, it's the way by which we pastors manipulate people like you. The offering you gave today, did he pain you? Okay? What I gave is what I want to give. Pain is not part of the arrangement. When I pay my children's school fees, it has never paid me. I'm always relieved. Is that the habit I'm saying Christians should have? And if you're a pastor, please, I like preaching to pastors also. Drop this nonsense preaching. So drop it. Zed David said, I won't give God that which costs me nothing. Oh boy, if I give you 20 naira, it's my 20 naira. It cost me 20 naira. Yesterday, my bank deducted money from me. I shouted. What did they deduct? 500 naira. My wife said, what is the logic behind the deduction? I said, I don't know. If you heard us talking, you will think that they just took a million naira from me. No, it was 500 naira. They said electronic money transfer charge. Do you understand? And when, you know, yesterday was my birthday, you know. So, people gave me, you know, gifts like, ah, oh, guys, your birthday, buy cake, buy granite, buy this one. So, as the money they come, did they collect their own? Did they collect their own? So, it was paining me. What was the pain? 500 naira at the end of it. Then look, when they remove 500 naira, I said, what was that? My wife said, what is the logic behind the deduction? I can't somebody transfer money to you. You see us getting angry over 500 naira. Why? It cost me something. That's where I'm going. It cost me something. You know Nigeria of today, that 500 naira cannot buy, can only buy half a liter of oil. It's half a liter. It's 2 units. For that, my doctor, remember the guy, it's 2 hours of AC use. It's not a lot of money, but it costs me. So the idea that don't give that, God, that which does not cost you, that's not what David meant. The amount that David spent for his status, for his financial ability at that time, was nothing. David, go and check what he spent for the temple. Go and check what he spent on the temple. You will have known that what he gave around for that land was nothing. But he will just say, if we are giving this offering, it has to be my offering, not your own. Sometimes we're in church, if you don't have an offering, you hand tell your neighbor to give it. I say, it's not your neighbor's, it's not your offering, it's your neighbor's own. So the point I'm making is that when it is gives God that which costs you, no matter how small, once it is your money, it is costing you. Reading another meaning into it as if it has to be something that you know something left you. And it's, I told the 500 naira my bank collected, and I shouted, you know, because like you know when you get pain from the bank, maybe the painful part was that you expect to see CR, you saw DR. Maybe that was the painful part. Instead of CR, you see DR. What is D doing in this tent? But it was my money, so it was painful. In quotes, it cost me something. Now, let's get back to the main thing with Isaiah. Make the doing of good what? A habit. Be a constant giver. Look for opportunities to give. You don't need to be one like a diesel generator without a Kickstarter to get money out of your pocket. Have you ever started that kind of generator? You don't need that at all. Just make the doing of good what? A habit. And if somebody starts prophesying and is looking for money, 99 times out of 100, it's not true. His prophecy is not true. He's not telling you the truth. For that reason, should you ignore him? Not all the time. Do what you still have to do. I told you I went somewhere, somebody was preaching and preaching and preaching. I had to ask the person beside me, I said, wait, who invited us. My wife and I went that day. I said, we're about four. We all went. I said, why is that guy preaching? He said, this church is the one that raises money. I said, is that why he's telling lies? I said, let him just tell us to give. And everything he said that day was annoying. Of course, when your money is the reason why you are doing what you are doing, it becomes annoying. He talked like this, talked like this. I said, okay, the way you used to worship Ogun and Obatala in your village is not how we worship God. We worship in spirit and in truth. So leave that thing. You want to motivate us by saying, look, those days, we know what we used to go through. You heard Reverend Yenka praying this morning, tell Reverend. He said, we have been delivered. So the bondage we're in that time to worship some other gods, it doesn't apply anymore. It's not. We don't transfer it. Saying, no, those days, we know what we used to go through. We'll crawl on our knees. We have been set free. So if we did that for false gods, can't we do that for the true God? No. If you know what you need to do for the true God, you can't even compare. So leave that thing. This is where I'm going. I disregarded all he was saying. I said, what is the money for? They told me. Well, I'm a visitor. I reasoned what I could give. I brought out my phone. We use apps these days to give offerings. All right? I said, well, I waited for them to put their account number on the screen. I disregarded everything he said. Because as far as I was concerned, he was preaching what was not true. And please be a preacher. Please don't enjoy that reputation. It's not a good reputation. When they want to raise money, you're the one they call. And you don't just say more than, hey, guys, give. If you really are anointed, if you really are anointed to make people give, do you know what you will do? You just tell them, hey, guys, give. And then let them give. It's called the demonstration of the spirit and of power. If you have to wind them and tell stories that are not true, even if they are true, once you have to tell stories and tell stories, you are not anointed, you are manipulative. You are not anointed. You are being manipulative. Those who are really anointed, see, if you are anointed to make people give, you will preach on the second coming of Christ, they will give. You will preach on love your wife as Christ loved the church, people will give. You will preach on fulfilling your ministry and they will give. Once you have to focus on the money and be doing the gyration and gyration, you are not anointed, you are manipulative. You are a motivational speaker. I hope you're getting my point. And I'm saying to pastors, drop that thing. It's not good. It's not a good thing at all. It's not good. Teach Christians how to be responsible habitually. The Lord is good. I think I'm done with that. So, back to what we said. So why do we go through this? I was explaining that when God is going to use you for a great thing, it is because you made what? A small thing, a habit. You made a doing of good, a habit. You made a doing of good, a habit. You are not to be found where evil is being done. God will not recruit you from where a negative thing is being done to come and do a massive good thing. He will not. It's only those who have made doing good a habit that he uses for great things. Paul said it like this, he found me faithful, so he committed to me what? A ministry. Now, what we're looking at today, if you remember last time, we've gone over this again and again, the fact that we all must be what? Servants of God. We all must be servants of God. And that the best son, that we're talking about being children of God now, is the one that serves. Is the one that serves. We have established that if you are not serving, your life is being what? Prodigal. And you cannot help it. The prodigal spirit will come. Let me say this again. Go and read the book, Someone is Controlling You. If you are not doing what is right, the spirit of what is wrong will enter into you. The spirit of doing what is wrong will just jump into it and control you. It will make you make wrong investments. It will lead into your life bad friends. This prodigal spirit will lead you into following people that will give you bad advice. Sometimes when I look at people make some decisions, before when I was younger, when I knew less, I used to get angry. But now I have realized that is not the person's fault at that moment, though. I'm not saying the person is not responsible, but the responsibility, the culpability is not at that moment. It was before now. Small aside, I have noticed. See, if you run away from the place of wisdom, foolishness will come upon you as a spirit. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
See, foolishness has a spirit. There's a principle in the Bible that is a spiritual principle. It's there. The Spirit of God left Saul. Remember that? What was the next thing that happened? From who? An evil spirit from God entered him. We struggled when we were young studying the scriptures to explain that. Does God have an evil spirit? Let me tell you the summary. God commanded a spirit of madness to enter him. That's the meaning. It was from God. And we see through the scriptures, not because they don't have revelation, but because they know the truth. That is, those of us who don't know, we say, no, God could not have. No, we didn't know. That for Ahab to be lied to, that he might die at Ramoth Gilead, God commanded lying spirits to enter into the mouths of the prophets and deceive him. So, that same God that commanded a lying spirit to enter the mouth of the prophets of Ahab, is that same God that commanded a mad spirit to enter into Saul? That's why the Bible said, an evil spirit from God. That is, it was God that said, who will go to Saul and scatter his life? And the spirit said, I will be a mad spirit afflicting him. And God said to the spirit, go and succeed. So, when you depart from the place of wisdom, listen now, a commandment has been given by that same God, is the judge of the whole earth, to make you foolish. Let me tell you what I call the spirit of foolishness. When you'll be doing what is bad, you'll be convinced it is right. It will never look foolish to you. You will wonder, in fact, Eric Prince will say to you that, and really I've prayed that prayer for myself. He said one of the worst things, I think he actually said the worst thing, that God can do to a person is to give him or her the spirit of delusion. For you to believe that which is not true. He said it's the worst thing. Now, it's terrible for you to believe that which is not true. So the young woman once, he had some mental issues. I said, why were you doing this? I was just trying to talk to him, help him out. And he said he did this and that, did that. Anyway, he went around calling himself Jesus Christ. So his friends got, well, they knew what was happening. So they bundled him, took him to hospital. That this year, Jesus Christ has to end. So I asked him, now listen to what he said carefully. I said, why did you do that? He said, sir, that was how I felt. I said, you felt like in bizarre. He said, yes. He said, that was how I felt. That is, he was convinced he was the Lord. He was convinced he was going to save the whole world. Of course, they calmed him down, had him treated, and that's what I was telling him. He said, that was how I felt. You don't feel like that now? No, I don't feel like that again. That is why, don't joke with wisdom. Please, let me just beg you. When they say go to church, go to church. Don't go to the bar. Let me just add this one to it. If you see a friend, a loved one, if you see somebody who suddenly stops going to church, panic. Did you hear what I said? If your son suddenly stops going to church and doesn't want, panic. If he's abroad, I know what I'm telling you. Withdraw him from school and bring him home. A lot of Christians are comfortable. Your child is no longer going to church. There are those who don't go because they tell you they can't find a good church. And they really want to go. Please, if you are here in Enugu, I have like 5 churches I can recommend to you. Please go. See, let me tell you something. When you are in church, a spirit enters you. When brethren gather, if all they are doing is just gathering and taking drink, water, you know, coke, and the orange juice, and they are laughing, and then they pray, and somebody shared the word, and they say it's Brother A's birthday, and they laugh, and they cut cake, and they play, and you go home, and 2 hours of your day is gone. That's a, look, it's a precious 2 hours. Where people understand value, they will pay for it. Some people laugh at pastors. Pastors are just enjoying. They are not enjoying. They are one of the most important persons on this earth. I'm not saying because I'm one. I preach the word of God. I'm saying it because it's true. They are more important than the doctors. And I know what I'm telling you. We were here yesterday and we were gisting. We talked, those of you who were here with us, we just had time in front of them, we were laughing. We talked about musicians. Different things. We were talking about, you know, something started it. A lot all over the world now, smoking Indian hemp is getting more and more legal. And even in, how many people know Elton John? You know Elton John, the musician, he's an off guy. He's not my guy. But you know what? He has been through addiction. So when they legalized smoking of cannabis, all right, but the real word is Igbo, all right? When they legalized Igbo in the UK, he felt bad. He said, "You don't understand that this is not about smoking cannabis." He said, "You've opened the door to a road that young people will walk on and they will not recover." He says a door of addiction. To him, it's terrible that they could make that decision because they want to smoke. Keep it illegal, he wanted them to do. Because he has been through addiction. He was saying it. That you are teaching, you are pushing these people. So now we're talking about it, they're just listening about it. And remember, I said something. I said, look, guys, pray for your children. You don't want to have a child that's addicted. And I talked about, so I don't know if so many of you saw that young man that was on social media that was breaking glass of cars parked. You saw it, right? How many people saw it? Okay, yeah. You were the one that forwarded it to me. Some of you saw it. That's what smoking did to him. He just walked to a car park where they're selling fine cars, car shop. Just took his stone. Went to the first glass and smashed it. You know, before the people knew what was happening. They went quickly, went to the next one, smashed the glass. Bam, bam, bam. When that is broken, he goes to the next one. He had done like 4 or 5 before they could stop him. It happens to be somebody that we know. That's how come I saw this thing. I had had a conversation with him before. I said, "What is your problem?" He said, "Smoking turned my head." He used that word for it. Now, I'm talking about church. We're not talking about it. That look, addiction is not a joke. The Spirit of God is the one that can keep people away from it. When when you go to church, that's where I was telling the story. In this life, you must have a spirit. You must have. It is which spirit that we are talking about. Say you don't go get spirit, forget that thing. You must have a spirit. You must have a spirit. If you don't have the Spirit of God, an evil spirit from God will follow you and you will smoke something. They were not telling us about one guy down in Dagbani Road. Crazy guy, just sitting down there. He's smoking. He said, that Indian hemp turns people's head. That is 10 years he's been smoking now. Is anything happening to him? This is a crazy guy on the road. And he said that, what they say that. Somebody made a skit about it the other day. One guy sat down on top of a transformer. Well, it was just like a cartoon. It was not good. They were not really commenting. The guy said, it's if I smoke loud. So what's greeting go up? I said, may I just test them? He said, nothing you would do me. He said, it was on top of a transformer. But there was power failure, the way they did the skit. He said, nothing do me, sir. He said, maybe next time, he said, na loud. He said, na colos, I go try. You know, there's what they call loud. There's what they call colos. Mm-hmm. In Lagos, it's what they call me, gota. Gota. They have all kinds of things. He said, maybe next time I will try colos. He said, the only thing that's happened is I don't blow. So people were shouting, come down, come down. He said, see my fans. He said, see my fans. I said, they heal me. He said, who would have known that little me would just blow like this? Meanwhile, they were shouting, oh, boy, calm down, calm down. It was there. So. The next thing we knew, there was power restored. And boom, it was electrocuted. It now blew. That's what smoke. You know, when I saw that one, we laughed because it was a joke. Until somebody told me that, somebody did that by the road here. The guy says, he's been smoking for 10 years, and they said he turned his head. Does it look like he has turned his head? And he was crazy. It's on the street. He was not even aware that his head has been turned. You must smoke his spirit. I'm telling you. You have to. So normally what you are supposed to do, all right, as a child of God, go where they smoke the real spirit. Like we say, get high on the Most High. You heard that before? Yes. Get high on the Most High. That's why I get high on Kolos. Why I get high on Nkurumiri, the crystal meth? Why I get high on cocaine? If you want to get high, go for the Most High. And I'm telling you how to smoke the Most High. There's just one way. Go to church. Sit down with the brethren. Please, let me give a straight practical example and instruction for Christians. Before you post your child abroad to school, locate a church. You are doing that child and God a great disservice if the only thing you did was locate a school. What is wrong with people? This boy is 17. This girl is 17. You are going to send them to school far from you, and you have no thought of where they will go to church. Are you crazy? You know their school. They say there's no God. You know they can't practice their religion the way you do down home. And you did not think about which church will you go to. You only thought about which school will he go to. You are donating that guy to a wrong spirit. Let's tell ourselves the truth. We deceive ourselves a lot. Your child is going to school. It has not far away from home. 6,000 kilometers. Or 10,000. I don't know how far America is from here. And what concerns you is that, you know, they use a touch screen to teach. The boards are modern. We just touch it like that. It animates the child will just learn. And he's not drinking of a particular spirit. Oh boy, they will give your child colos. When they export him back to you, you will know I warned you. The boy has to drink his spirit. He has to tell you, sir, I'm going for baptism. He has to go where they are clapping. Praise the Lord, those in ghosts, praise the Lord. He has to go to where they are speaking, talk about, ya, ba, 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 hey, po, do, ko, so, ko, to, to. Let him groan, I don't care. He has to go to where they will recite the psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? There is none like the God of Israel. He has to go to where he will drink his spirit. You cannot send a child. You did not make arrangement for spirit drinking. And you say, who smoke Igbo? If it's you, Uncle, you will not go smoke. Did you not smoke? It's not God that delivered you. Some of you, You started smoking. God sent them to stab you. That's why you went to hospital, from hospital to church. They were at home for 1 month. When you went back to school, you don't drink the correct spirit. Your mama warned you, say, which fellowship do you go to? One boy, I still remember his name, were in our room. And his mother dragged him to our room. The mother just went around campus and said, please, where are the Christians? Somebody now described our room. So he entered and sat down. Said, please, you guys should help me. What is the thing? The boy was gambling. And his life was being ruined. And the mother didn't know what to do. Where I'm going is that she just dragged him to our room. Please. You know, when you see Christians do something sometimes, you just look at them and say, you don't believe in God. No, you don't. You see, that Harvard is more important to you than anything else. Let me tell you, when we are not believers, for those unbelievers who are outside, I don't know any law about them. Not much. My principles don't apply to them. I really don't care. All right? God didn't send me to them. He sent me to Christians. Every action you take in life is making a statement before God. And He will treat you according to the statement you make. If you tell God, the faith of my children don't matter, He will treat you like that. If you tell God, spirituality doesn't matter to me, He will treat you like that. Let God see you say, I can't leave this place yet. He said, why? But that job is better. Said, the church I'm going, You come and hear my pastor first. You will understand. In that simple statement, God says, faith matters to this guy. Say, I like the job, Later. For now, man. Just simple things like this. A series we are on in church. I can't miss it. But they say I have to resume in the other place immediately. Let me tell you, Satan still bargains for people's destiny with money till today. He hasn't changed his system. I was teaching my family yesterday. I said the excuse people give to do what is not right, that's not pleasing to God, all right, is actually what the Bible calls temptation. They don't know. I don't know where I get my point. When they finish explaining, me and my brother, I don't know. But you see, when I consider it's called temptation. You just fell for it. But you didn't call it temptation. You called it reasoning. It's actually temptation. The way God treats believers, just be making your statement as far as God is concerned. And He's writing them down. Say, let this guy go to this school. And you say, give me a call. No, this one is better. No, I said something to you last time. I will say it again so that Nigerians will hear me as much as possible. Next time you want to complain, or people start complaining, one, that they give you a list of things that are not working, and maybe they are true. I'm not here to argue whether they are true or they are false. What I'm saying is, let them just listen carefully and see whether they add one that's spiritual. I said to you, the pilgrims that left from Europe, I think, went to the United States. They went looking for freedom of worship. Want to serve God the way we like. The way to please Him. We are tired of the kings around here telling us how to serve God in a way He doesn't please. When we are talking, we don't say anything like that. All we do is, do you know the price of wealth? And let me tell you something. God hates grumbling. Let me say to you again what many of us seem to have forgotten. God hates grumbling. What does He call grumbling? Price of wealth. Price of tomato, price of rice, price of this thing, water is not flowing,
power
is not constant. It hits here. That is like, you know, there are things that you just, I don't want to hear. God hates grumbling. Let me give an instruction again. It's not a new instruction, something you always knew. To the children of God. In everything, give thanks. That is the will of God. Second instruction. For everything, give thanks. That is the will of God. It's a level of, there are different levels of faith in it. It's a lower level of faith, but it's also a very good one. To give thanks in everything. To give thanks despite. This is happening. It's bad. Despite that, I shall rejoice. I shall give thanks. There's a higher level of faith which says, beloved, count it all joy when you fall into that thing. That God, I want to thank you that this job, I didn't get it. In fact, if you rewind time and give me the opportunity, I won't want it. Why? Because I didn't get it. It has become clear to me that you didn't want me to have it. Therefore, I rejoice because of that thing. Not in spite. There's rejoicing, even though the fig tree does not blossom. But there's rejoicing that the dry fig tree is a blessing. Do you follow my point? There's a kind of rejoicing that comes at a time, and it's based on understanding. When the dryness of the fig tree, you realize is good for you. There's a rejoicing in which there's no fruit in the vine. Everything is empty. But there's another level in which you come and say, Father, thank you. Because this vine was not good for us. We did not know. But now you have taken it away. There must be a good thing about the fact that you have taken it away. I will give these instructions again. Like I said, it's not new. Because God hates grumbling. He hates it. It turns him off you. You want to come talk to him like, I don't want to hear anything. That he has come again. Do you know, let me tell you, if you call me, and you're an older person, the kind of person I can reply easily and all of that. Please, avoid talking about Nigeria in a negative way. Avoid it. Not whether you are right or you are wrong, is that it turns me off. I mentioned to us some time ago that I was in a chat group of professionals, specialist doctors. I lasted just a few days for one reason. The grumbling and murmuring was driving me nuts. I called on that guy who I know to be a Christian. I said, how do you handle this? He said, I don't read their chats. I said, these guys are driving me crazy. I'd challenged them, corrected them. But I realized that human beings just love this misery generation, you know, sharing the fact that we are suffering, things are not good, but life is bad. I mean, can you imagine at my age, I just built only 2 houses. Meanwhile, my grandfather by now had 7. I realized they were not planning to stop. So that guy told me that, look, exit. Now, I like to be nice to people. These days, I thank God for WhatsApp. WhatsApp has done in such a manner that when you exit a group, only the admin will know. No, some people are saying, it's been like that for a long time now. But this one, I couldn't take it. So what happened was that I woke up at 2 a.m. Hoping that somebody else will have posted before the rest see that I've left. I exited. When they formed another one later and banned anything apart from professional issues there, one guy that came to me and said, boss, please, boss, join this one, please. We promise. I said, please. That's one. So then I have 2. which most many people have, where you can talk the nonsense in your mouth, one that is fixed on the reason why we are gathered. We are professionals. I found that human beings love. Oh, human beings love. They love that misery thing. And I'm giving you the charge of God. I'm giving you the charge of God. Don't participate. Not only should you not participate, every little thing that can be celebrated, celebrate it. Every little thing that can be celebrated, celebrate it. Then just celebrate God, even for nothing specific that's happening. Just celebrate Him. Just say, Father God, I want to say thank you. Because let's even look practical. There are so many little things that God has done. Like I keep saying, you all left your homes early this morning to get here for this meeting. Those who are living in Khartoum in Sudan can't do that. Early morning, leave your house. For what? They have a forgotten war going on there. People don't know. Yesterday, Dabi was talking about it, where he went to see a patient. And the daughter of the daughter in the house happened to be a student. But something led to it. And I said, which school do you go to? She mentioned the name of the school. And he was like, I don't know that school. In Nigeria. I said, no, not in Nigeria. In Ukraine. 50-year medical student has been home for the last 3 years. Can't go back to school. And she's praying every day for the war to end so her life can move. You left your house this morning and you're able to come here. Please celebrate that for at least 2 days. By the end of the second day, you have something else to celebrate. By the end of a week here, you have areas of celebration. Do you get my point? And please let me explain God to you. He loves hearing the voice of thanksgiving. He loves hearing the voice of rejoicing. He loves hearing, he likes feeling the vibes of a grateful heart. He loves feeling the vibes of a grateful heart. It turns him off. No matter how genuine you think your reasons are for grumbling, he hates it. Oh, he despises it. If you want, next time you want to pray, he said, one angel, listen to him. Shut my screen. I don't want to hear what he's saying. I don't want to hear what she's saying. When the Bible says, enter his gate with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, take it like that. If you want God to listen to you all the time, always be thankful. Just find a reason. No matter how bad things are. And there are times, look, David says something. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now, he said, even Ezekiah said, this sickness was good for me. Ezekiah, sick unto death. He said, for my own good, I was afflicted. So there are times you just say, dear Lord, you know what? Thank you for making me pass through this. The fat man at work, thank you. The other day, they had some issues in the house, which I need to handle. At the end of the day, I said, Lord, I really want to thank you that you made this thing go like this. Because one thing I came out of that with again was a higher level of confidence to pray. Because of that little experience, it's as if when I get on my knees, I know the Lord is listening. Few things have boosted my faith like that. Meanwhile, it was a matter of disappointment. But by the time I went to prayer, faith had been boosted by disappointment. Faith had been boosted by disappointment. So when I say the second level of give thanks for. Look, if you read the scriptures, you will see what the Bible calls the discipline of the Lord. And it's a bad thing. Some people say, no, God is not disciplining his children with problems, his sickness and affliction. And no, he's a good God. That is why he does it, because he's good. Thank God my children, they are grown. One day was my birthday, I think it was last, no, it was our anniversary. Was it anniversary? When Victory posted. Said this, he put out a picture there. He said, this man, his cane taught me how not to lie. He put on his status, this Victory. I think it was my birthday last year. He was celebrating on his birthday. He said, this is a man whose cane taught me how not to tell lies. He didn't learn how not to tell lies because daddy hugs him. No. I still remember one day, I think it was his brother that came, parents that came to report him to me, that he said something that he was not supposed to say. So I brought his cane. I said, come, what happened? Parents said, he said, no, I didn't say so. I said, what did you say? He said, I can't remember what I said. How to laugh. Very funny guy. One day he told his sister. His sister came and told me that Victory told me to shut up. No, wait. No. He said, Victory said, his sister came and said, Victory told me to shut up. So I called him Victory. You told your big sister to shut up. He said, no, I didn't say so. Wait, what did you say? I told him to shut up. I told her to shut up. Oh God, that is good. So do you know, even what looks bad, we can give God thanks for it. That's the point I'm making. Troubles, afflictions come, and God says, you must learn my lesson. And it's for your good. It's for your good. See, if you have any affliction or troubles in your life, please, after you finish praying about it, go and get a book and start saying, Lord, lessons, my lessons, my lessons. The other day, I was praying about something. I was not feeling well about, you know, physically. So, and the Lord took good care of me. I got a point in the prayer. I said, Lord, you know what? Don't finish it yet. It's healing. I literally said, no, don't complete it. I said, until I'm doing what is right. So it's important I don't forget. I literally said, if this is what it is, please, dear Lord, don't complete it. You see, because I have noticed now, I have proven to be a stubborn human being to you, so it's begging. Kenegan said he fell, dislocated his elbow very badly. They had to take him to theater, anesthetize him to put it back in place. And the Lord appeared to him, physically. I mean, it's a vision, but he could see. And they had a conversation. And the Lord said to him, I will heal you 99%. He had to put up his hand. Excuse me, sir. Healing you. I mean, like 100. What's the problem? Why don't you complete the 100 healing? God said, no. The Lord said to him, no. I want to leave the 1% the rest of your life to remind you never to disobey. Because human beings, we forget. See, forgetting is normal. You know, we forget. Many people won't understand this. Paul, he said because of the abundance of revelation, being a human being, it was going to make him proud. So therefore, it was given to me a thorn in the flesh. He said 3 times, because he didn't like the thorn. 3 times he went to the Lord and prayed about it. You know, we try to modernize this, our faith, into control. So we realize that God says, man, you can rebuke it. He said, it's not true. Let me not say it's a lie. It's not true. God never said to him, you can rebuke it. Paul may declare, abundance of revelation is going to lead to pride. Therefore, this thorn was given to me to calm me down. And I besought the Lord 3 times about it. And the Lord said to me clearly, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So it was clear it was a thing of weakness. So what was he saying, Paul? Saying to Paul, it's simple. What the Lord was saying is, anytime you see the thorn flare up, it is because your pride flared up. So Paul, you take time and work on the pride. Don't worry about the thorn. I will handle it. Meanwhile, no matter how weak you are, don't worry, the apostolic ministry will continue going because my grace is made perfect even in your weakness. Because Paul said, therefore, I rejoice in my tribulations. We said, no, the Lord was saying he could rebuke it and we don't rebuke, we don't tire. The rebuke, no rebuke. I'm saying that you can even give thanks in the midst of affliction. You can give thanks in the midst of tribulation. You can give thanks in the midst of trials. You can. You can give thanks. Because I had to tell the Lord, I said, Lord, please, if this is a matter, this guy seems to like to disobey. I'm talking about me. So don't settle it completely. Because I don't want to forget. I told the Lord like that. I do not want to forget. And I had the history, people, the teaching, other people's experiences, what the Bible calls a cloud of witnesses. So it's not for your own good. Some of us think we think this is our faith. We can't look, you can't control everything. Don't be deceived that you can. You cannot. He has not given that privilege to you. Neither is it good for you. Look, let me tell you, Christians, like I say all the time, fear is not a problem. It's what it makes you to do. That nobody should say to you, fear not, when he's not God. I don't know whether I get my point. The only person that should say fear not is God. Why? He can control everything. So if you have fears or a fear and the Lord has not yet handled it, let it drive you to prayer. Then it becomes a good thing. If you have trouble, as long as it drives you to genuine prayer, not grumbling prayer, God, 5 years now, you have not done anything for me. Eh? That's not what I mean. It's I get there, I give the Lord thanks. Then I extract my life. And I say to the Lord, look, Lord, anything that is not right, correct it. And I spend my time, all right, studying the word, fellowshipping with brethren, and improving my spirituality. Improving my life. The affliction is good. God said to Paul, see, as long as you keep the pride down, I will keep the thorn down. But let's not remove it. Because the pride will kill you. Time will not allow me, of course, it's not part of our teaching, to go and look at the life of Hezekiah. That was the problem Hezekiah had. The Lord, the first time he fell sick and he was going to die, that was the problem. Then he humbled himself and prayed. God said, no problem, 15 more years. The Bible says that when those men came, God withdrew from him to see whether this pride is this guy's problem. What did he do? He wanted to show off again. Ah, come and see my money. I got more money than all of you. See my bank of gold. Those were like, Look at this one. The guy, you know what they call Buga? The guy's Buga was serious. God said, see, this is the problem I have with this boy. After everything, it's the guy that came again and threatened him. Isaiah. Hey, what did they see? Who are those people? So, they are men. What did they see in your house? our God is good. Our God is good. I had to show them that serving the true God is a lie. He was pride. Said, I showed them everything. Isaiah now said, this is what the Lord says. There is nothing they saw they will not take away into captivity. Thinking this man will go back on his knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. He said, that will be in the days of my children. He said, what? Look, then the guy provoked. If you know what really happened, Which kind of thing is this one? Eh? Small to show off. Don't they prophesy? Small show off. Look at him. He's already prophesying. As I was waiting for this guy to go on his knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. He said, it will be in the days of my children. You know what he said to Isaiah? The prophecy you have given is good. You know that's how he said it to Isaiah. So what you have spoken is good. In his mind, to be in the days of my children. Manasseh, uncle, all of you are going to captivity. Me, I'll be long gone. Pride, no, go and study your scriptures. Just read all the accounts concerning Hezekiah. You will find out that pride was his problem. The reason he was sick in the first place was because of pride. So let me say it again. No murmuring. No grumbling. In everything, give thanks. For everything, give thanks. The Lord is good. So, please, let's just... maybe I will just stop teaching a while. Let me just... if I say what we're supposed to say today, we'll just leave it. Still trying to connect with what we were saying. So, being servants of God, we are working for the Lord. And what I'm saying today is that what matters is not what big thing we are doing, but what things, even though little, we are formed into a habit. And he said to Timothy, in every household, let's notice this again, verse 20. Now in the large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware. And some to honor and some to dishonor. That is, we wash hands in some. We use some to carry the water for feet washing. But some we use to serve kings. He now said, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, what are those things? We'll talk about them. Now, let me just emphasize this, which was what Paul was saying to us. Everybody will be used. What did I say? I said earlier that you must drink a spirit. The best way to handle your life and the life of your children is constantly drink what? The spirit of God. That way, the Igbo spirit will have no space. You cannot be high on the most high and need to get high on kolos. Do you get? So what we need to do is constantly get high on the most high. In the same manner, we are saying everybody will be used. Is what you will be used for that is the issue. There's a predestined or predetermined purpose of use for your life. But God says something. It is dependent. Now let me say this carefully. You see, Judas, was he born to betray Jesus Christ? Now, before you answer, think about it. Somebody had to betray Jesus. God is an eternal planner. So, if betraying Jesus was important, he must have made provision for that. So, was Judas predetermined to betray Jesus? Now, why did he say no? How did he get there? He pushed himself to that. Okay. And I've written about it. The guys are reasoning about it so that there's nothing I want to say now. He has not read. Just joking about that. But they are correct. They are correct. Now, those who believe, you know, a lot of doctrines sometimes have what they call extremes. Predestination that says that everything has been determined by God, no matter how wrong or right it is an extreme. Predestination that says that, or the other idea that life is what you make of it, is another extreme. Okay? The truth is in the middle. That somebody will betray Jesus is determined. That the person will be a Judas is determined. He has to be a Judas. But that this Judas will be the one is not determined. That's why God left free will. Now, please, this is a lesson for all of us, isn't it? In this life, the potential roads of destiny that you will take, they have all been determined. God leaves something for you to choose which one will eventually happen and to what extent it will happen. It's been left to you. Like I said before, the fact that we're using the word predetermined doesn't mean it must happen compulsorily. And that's the balance I'm introducing. That is, if that particular Judas that we know did not do the Judas work, he would have been a Peter. And God would have found another Judas. He would have been maybe a replacement for this Judas. Maybe he would have been a Matthias. Maybe he would have been a Barnabas. But he would have been an apostle. Because God doesn't joke with it. He had brought him into apostleship because he was duty bound by his own plan to expose him to that line. Judas could not have been a carpenter permanently. He could not have been a businessman. That Judas could not have been a fisherman forever. That Judas was going to be an apostle. He could be one of the 12, or one of the ones next to the 12, from where we picked Matthias and Justus. We will not finally pick Matthias. Or he will have been one of the 120. But he had to be one. Do you get it? Now, the lesson for all of us is that in your life, you know, I said something earlier. Please go to church. Let me say in a funny way. Please go to church so you won't go to hell. Let's just put it like that. I'm in hell on earth this time around. Yeah. And I was saying something. No, I said like this. If you see somebody who used to go to church who stopped, panic, pray. If it's your son, your daughter, and going to school far away, and suddenly church is no longer interesting him or her, panic. I'm serious when I say this. Tell the person, take a year off from school. Come home. I want you to come and work for me. Make him, make her follow you to church and pray. And keep on praying until the fellow is standing on his or her feet, then go back to school. It's very important. Why it's important is because the opportunities are in front of you. Which one will eventually manifest is determined by the personal cleansing you go through. Do you get my point? Paul said here to Timothy, if anyone cleanses himself of these things, youthful lust and all of those things, he will be a vessel prepared for every good work. So I'm certain about this. When God made each one of us, he didn't just give one destiny as a potential. He gave many. The one you call his will is number one, is on top. Every time you go away from his will, you enter another one. You don't determine anyone. Do you get my point? And that's why, see, let me drop this here. You know what I found out? If anybody walks away, say, I give my life to Christ, all right, and goes to church, and departs from iniquity, if you are related to the person, it's your friend, it's your husband, it's your wife, whatever it is, please, watch out. Don't let that person ever depart from the word of God, from going to church. That when it starts prospering and money is flowing, pray for God to take it away. If it is stopping him from going to church. Because he will return to his vomit. The only thing that keeps us safe, and God did it like that. God doesn't want you ever to be able to stand independent of him. Ever. See, don't let people give it. See, let me tell you this life, temptations, they are called temptations because they are tempting. People think temptation is when the flesh is crawling. Can I see that woman as a past? That's the lowest form of a temptation. That's for temptation for those who have not achieved anything spiritually. The real temptations that are hard in life, your flesh doesn't crawl because of them. You won't lick your mouth. You will reason well and walk away from the will of God. It will be very rational. You will just sit down, okay, what do we do? And, okay. And you will calculate and decide and go against what God's will is. Why I'm saying so is this, why I'm trying to explain that to us, is that, you see, if somebody starts following the Lord, from scripture we see Satan doesn't stop trying to bring a fellow back, never gives up. He tempted Jesus at the beginning. What did he say? Turn these stones to bread. Jump down from here. Bow down, worship me. Three things he told the Lord. None of them did the Lord fall for. And the rest of us think that that's how the Lord now made it. No. He said, what do we do next? Let's go and enter his brothers and his mother. And Satan literally went there. Pull him out of ministry. You're embarrassing the family. He overcame that one. What next do we do? Go to the congregation. Tell them to make him a king. There's no... See, pastor, don't just go and be joining APC or PDP because you can change the world. A pastor can never use politics to change the world. Listen, if you're a prophet, you are doing protest, you've lost your ministry. Do you know... Are you getting my point? You have lost your ministry. Once you join those who are marching on the road, we know, go agree, this is... You have lost your ministry. You have lost your ministry. A prophet speaks the word. He doesn't protest. Pastors, be very, very careful. See, I will change the world when they make me the ogre of this place is a lie for you. You are supposed to change the world from down. God will appoint his David. He will appoint his Nebuchadnezzar. He will appoint his Cyrus. Your name is Jeremiah. Prophesy from where you are. If you're a pastor, what God wants is you go and change the people. You cannot change the system. What can you do? Change the people. Regularly in church, teach them the word. Don't let anybody use high appointment to distract you. It's a distraction for you, the prophet. For you, the pastor. A high appointment is a distraction. See, that way you can do good for the society. No, for you, it is a temptation. It is a temptation. For you, it is a temptation. This good you want to do for the society. If you make money now, you'll be able, and you are called to ministry. Please, take it as a temptation. Where I'm going concerning Jesus, they offered it to him too. They offer the Lord, come. That way you can change the people by decreeing it. You're not the king. He said, that's not the method. You can't use decrees to change people whose hearts are not regenerated. I have to go to the cross for these people to be truly free. Satan looked. Three temptations in the wilderness did not work. We possessed his mother and his brethren to pull him out. It didn't work. We possessed the crowd to offer him the throne. He will be our king. It did not work. What else do we do? Peter. He went there. Peter said, none of this will happen to you. How can you suffer like this? Jesus recognized it. He said, he has come again. Get behind me, Satan. We know the story. Satan now looked like, all right, looks like we've lost this. He has finally made up his mind to go to the cross. He now went to him. Now, I believe this is me thinking. This cross is painful. He painted the picture well. Behold the Lamb of God that carries the sin of the whole world, that takes away the sin. You know what how they take something away? You carry it. You feel like Atlas, Abi. You carry the whole world on your shoulder. As he was saying it, Jesus was feeling the pain. It's not the king, no? When he saw, the father will look your side for where? He will turn his face away. Then the Lord literally crawled into the garden and began to pray. It was a final attack.
Father, let this cup pass over me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Ah, Satan said, why did you add that last statement? Let this cup pass over you is good enough. Because you see, 12 legions and angels, all this trouble will go away. He went back inside. Father! That was why when Peter came with his sword, said, relax, we settle down in the garden. If I wanted deliverance, I know how to get it. You know why I'm saying this? Satan never gave up until he finally hit that cross. The flesh did not give up. For all of us, it doesn't give up. You know one of the things I found out? God help us and forgive us if I've been negligent. One reason why God, you know, I've been telling you, if you have a name, there's a title. Like they called you wife. Your father didn't give birth to you and called you wife. It's you that went and became wife. Husband, it's because you married somebody's daughter. And I've told you, the first assignment is prayer for that person. You say your name is wife. Let me say this to you. Don't sleep one day without spending at least a minute praying for your husband. Don't sleep one day without spending at least a minute praying for your wife. Pray it in arrears if you forget. The other day I shared on my status and our WhatsApp channel. Pray for us. People were sending me messages. Pastor, is there a problem? Is there a problem? Yeah, there was a problem actually. Alright? But not what people would think. I just realized that, look, I actually need prayer. And people would listen, many of them don't pray for me. So I just quoted the scripture. The scripture was said by who? Paul. He requested prayer. He requested prayer. Paul requested prayer. And you want your wife to succeed without you praying. Are you mental? Paul requested prayer. Paul begged for it. Guys, pray for us. So this life is rough. See, if your children misbehave, it's your fault. If your wife misbehaves, it's your fault. Let's leave it like that. You didn't pray enough. Let's just leave it like that. Periodically, take your children, sit in front of the pictures, and just take an hour on one. Next day, take another hour. This is that you won't smoke on me. You will not smoke. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you, let him never smoke. Prayer. With much, that is, with intensity. With fear. The Bible said he was heard because he feared. I was saying something. If somebody you love, your husband, your wife, they go to church, you know, they go to church together, the day is stop eating. We'll fast this one out. My husband, you know, we go to church, Abby. You know, one prayer, Abby. Don't worry. Father God, let him not sleep. Afflict him until he begs you for mercy. Where's he going? Because if somebody loses faith, the evil spirit from God, you don't want it. There are times that maybe your husband will come sick, or better your wife sick. Do and do, go outside, dance. Come and say, sorry, have you eaten? Then close the door. So this one, you will pray. Then bring the pastors one by one. Then bring the messages there. I think you should read this one. You should, then you'll be praying, Father God, revelation. You don't like the sickness, but at least, person with their bed, they go to church by force, or church go come there. See, whatever Lord you have to do,
That's what I told my church. You heard me say many times. Look. Any one of you that wants to smoke, the way you so jam the wall, your head, see, it's a prayer I've prayed for you. None of them should try it. There's no need to go through that hassle. Just know your father has said that it shall never be well with you by any shred of his imagination of the Lord's own or yours if you don't follow the way of righteousness. So don't just try. Just tell your friends. Like my son told his friend one day in church. They said that, hey, what if you bet you win? He said, I won't go home. I said, if you win 3 million, he'll be happy. Akilu said, you don't know my father. How would I explain to him that I logged into a betting site? You are thinking of the money. Me, I'm thinking of, how will I explain? I will not even be tempted to cancel my ministry because you want betting money. I say, oh, testy. Why are you money? Testing money? Me? No, that money is not a testing one. Lie. Why I said what I said, let me just finish with it. Time has kind of gone on me. Why I said it is this. When the spirit of God departs from Saul, an evil spirit from God, I have found out if people depart from the word of God, they tend to go back to their vomit. So why God gave us wives, why God gave us husbands, gave us relationships, gave us things like that, is to help each other to stand on the path of faith so that we can enter into his destiny. Did you understand that? And that destiny, maybe I'll talk about it again next time. That's what I want to preach today. I had this crashed it. Which is the fact that he has many. Number one is his choice. It's his will. What Judas did was at the bottom of the line. Let's just make it easy. There are two. Okay? Why I said many is the extent to which we walk in each one. Number one is the first one, his plan, to the fullness. The bottom of it is the second one I was talking about, to its fullness. Anywhere in along the line, if it's not fully accomplished, constitutes the other levels. What he wants, which is what we call the will of God, is number one. That which he planned, extended to the, that is fulfilled to the extreme, to the fullness of it. That is what he wants. However, if anyone will not choose that, he falls into the second one to different extents. But how do you choose it, is what I was trying to explain. How you choose it is by what Paul called cleansing yourself of all defilement so that you can become a vessel unto honor. Made what? Ready. You're not the one that does that big work. You know, we've been talking about it. You're only made what? Ready for it. You're made ready for it. You're made ready. So he told Timothy, how do you make yourself ready? It's by fleeing youthful lust. It's by fleeing all the negative things of the flesh, all the lust of the flesh and the matters of the pride of life. It's by fleeing the lust that's in the world. It's by not loving the world. He said, now flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness. He said, pursue, run after righteousness, righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. He said, if you do these things, you'll be a vessel unto honor, prepared, made ready for good works. Now, I wrote some things that let me just read them to you, and they are clues. I was preaching in Sokoto the other day. That was, I think, last year or the year before. And I explained to them that the Lord is recruiting people that he will use for these good works. And I gave a number of things. Of course, I'm just, funny enough, I'm just saying them so that I will remember to do it next time. That's actually why I'm saying this now. Actually, I finished the message. Just using this to keep a record for myself of what I want to talk about next time, which I had planned for today. He listed some things for Timothy. I won't go into details. And also for Titus. And he called them the qualifications for deacons. or for elders that they want to appoint? You know them. Give me a few. He must not like money, unjust gain. He must be hospitable. Not giving to wine. Thank you. What else? A man of one woman. All right? Like we explained that, it doesn't mean that he must marry only one wife. It means that he must be faithful to his wife. All right? Not as if other people can have more than one wife. The issue there was that of marital fidelity. Any other thing? Can take, if he's married and has children, takes care of his home, so he's responsible on the things that, you know, and he has a good reputation of those who are outside. Not as if he's trying to show off, but his honesty is reputable. That's what we mean by having a good reputation. All right? Now, that's baseline for anybody that wants to go far with God. It applies to everybody. Another thing is that the fellow must be a constant disciple, which you have talked about. That's how you drink of the right spirit. You must consecrate yourself regularly. I'm just making a record of it. If you want God to use you for great works, to serve God in his fullness, locate your place and fit in it. When I say that, I don't mean geographical place. I'm talking about your functional place in life, in the body of Christ. And prioritize whatever you see. Prioritize whatever you have come to understand as your assignment in life. Another point, don't worry about your life. A lot of people worry too much. I don't want to start preaching now along those lines. Just be careless in some things. What's your plan for tomorrow? I don't have. Oh, I don't know. You are not, I am not. Is that what you want to do in your life? Yes. If you get a reputation for carelessness in wise planning for the future, it is very important. People worry too much. What they call wise planning and planning is God calls it worry. We'll talk about it another time. Then, don't compare yourself with anybody else. If you want God to use you, better get it off the comparison agenda. Get off it. If you want to be useful to God, you have to get off it. And I will reiterate what we said at the beginning. A life of purity, which is what the standards of deacons really are. That life of purity. Okay? In fact, basically, if we start from, you must be a disciple, consecrate yourself regularly in prayer to the Lord. It helps you. Locate your place. So all of those things, very important, they must be undergirded by that life of purity, which was what Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus, and he said to them, the deacons should be an example of this in the body of Christ. Now, if you do these things, you are made ready for every good work. Have you been blessed today? I think I've preached my message. And I think I preached it. The one I planned, that's the one I just summarized. That's what we'll do it next time, if the Lord permits. Well, I've preached the message for today. Let's pray. Let's bow down our heads and say, Father, thank you. Let's just give thanks. Just give thanks. Just give thanks. That's all. Just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. And Lord, I thank you. Let me give it one more minute, all right? To pray your own prayer. Because as I was speaking, people were making corrections, making decisions. They were hearing things. So consecrate, respond according to what you heard. Father, I want to say thank you. Thank you for this beautiful life you have given us to serve you in. Your name be highly exalted. In Jesus' name. All right, Father, we thank you for today. As we depart from here, Lord, we do not depart from your presence. We say, you are our God. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name in might. Thank you in our lives, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's share the grace in fellowship because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely we have passed out of death, and we have passed into life.
We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you quickly bless two people beside you? Say, this is your season. Bless somebody else. Oh yeah, the last one for yourself. This is my season. This is my season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, God bless you, cherub brethren.